chapter 13, text 20.
Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadi upavapi vikarams trigunams chaiva vidhi prakriti sambhavan. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformations and the modes of matter are products of material nature. Purport. By the knowledge given in this chapter, one can understand the body, the field of activities, and the knowers of the body, both the individual soul and the super soul. The body is the field of activity and is composed of material nature. The individual soul that is embodied and enjoying the activities of the body is the Purusha, or the living entity. He is one knower, and the other is the super soul. Of course, it is to be understood that both the super soul and the individual entity are different manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The living entity is in the category of his energy, and the super soul is in the category of his personal expansion. Om Jnana Tumirantasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaityam Siddhati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopesha Gopita Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchako Pitarubhyascha Kripasindho Vyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidyanadi Upavapi Vikaram Shagunam Chaiva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. This 13th chapter concerns the field and the knower of the field, the body is the field of activities, and the person who's within the body, the soul, is the knower of the field. Kshetrajna. I'm not this body, but I know about this body to some extent. When there's pleasure or pain in some part of the body, I feel it.
Kshetragyam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bhavati.
But I'm not in everyone's body. I don't know what you feel. I don't know what you're thinking. Because you're one person, and I'm another person. Every one of us is individual. My consciousness is different from your consciousness.
So, but Krishna says, I'm the knower in everybody.
You know your body, I know my body, but Krishna knows every body.
Just as in an apartment building, I know my flat, you know your flat, but the landlord knows all the flats.
So in the same way, I know my body, you know yours, but Krishna knows all of it.
So that understanding has been given, that there are two knowers of the body, the individual soul and the super soul.
One knows his own body, and the other knows all the bodies of all the living entities.
One is a part of the Lord, and the other is the direct expansion of the Lord.
Both material nature and the living entity are eternal.
That is to say, that they existed before the creation.
The material manifestation is from the energy of the Supreme Lord,
and so also are the living entities.
But the living entities are of the superior energy.
That's been explained in the 7th chapter.
Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, the gross and subtle bodies are all products of Krishna's material energy.
Aparayam itas tranyam prakriti vidhi me param jiva bhuta mahabha.
But above all of the material energies is the superior energy of the Lord, the living being.
The Lord says that both of them are eternal.
The living being is eternal, and material nature also eternally exists.
But bhutva bhutva praliyate,
it's manifest and unmanifest.
In the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord explains this, how he appears. How he manifests his material nature, unrolls it, and then wraps it up, and then unrolls it again at the end of the day of Brahma, or at the end of the life of Brahma. The entire cosmic manifestation is wrapped up.
Otherwise, at the end of the day of Brahma, all the living entities are absorbed into the body of Lord Vishnu.
And at the beginning of the next day, they come out.
So they're manifest and unmanifest.
And the material nature is like that also. It's all wrapped up in the body of the Lord at the end of Brahma's life, and then again manifested.
Yas yaika nisprasita kala matavalam yujivanti loma vilajajagadandana.
The Mahavishnu is breathing.
He's in yoga nidra, sleeping.
And as he's dreaming, all the material universes are manifested from the pores of his body. And as he exhales, they're all manifest. As he inhales, they're all annihilated.
In each universe, the Brahma is manifest, and then he creates the bodies of all the living beings.
But the material nature is existing
even when the cosmic manifestation was annihilated and unmanifest. Material nature is always there, material energy always exists. But sometimes Krishna unfolds it, and sometimes he wraps it up again. And the living entities are correspondingly also manifest and unmanifest again and again. Both the living entities and material nature existed before this cosmos was manifested. Material nature was absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahavishnu. And when it was required, it was manifested by the agency of the Mahat Tattva. Similarly, the living entities are also in him, and because they are conditioned, they are averse to serving the Supreme Lord. Thus, they are not allowed to enter into the spiritual sky. But with the coming forth of material nature, these living entities are again given a chance to act in the material world and prepare themselves to enter into the spiritual world. That is the mystery of the material creation. Would someone like to ask them nicely, tell them nicely that we're having a class here and ask them if they could pipe down? Or you want to do that? Yeah, hold on a second. He's the better man to do the job. Mr. Vita should have said invite them to come. So this is described in the 8th chapter, how the material nature is manifest and unmanifest in cycles. In cycles, just as we have summer, winter, spring, and fall. These cycles are there of creation and destruction. The smaller cycles in which there's partial devastation and recreation, and the larger cycles in which everything is destroyed and then again recreated at the beginning of a new lifetime of Brahma. During the day of Brahma, everything's manifest. At night, there's a partial devastation. And then finally, at the end of the life of Brahma, everything is destroyed. And the entire cosmic manifestation is wound up. It's manifest from the Lord the way the web is manifest from the spider. By his own energy, he expands the web. And then, by his energy, thank you. I forgot to tell you to invite them. That's okay.
We're watching some TV show.
Yeah. Good reason to invite them. Watching and commenting, it seems. Yeah, I gathered it's not high culture. The spider, from his own energy, his own saliva, manifests the web, and then he plays on the web for some time and lets the little insects get entangled in it. And then he wraps up the web also, absorbing it into his own body. So the Lord manifests material nature from his own energy and then wraps it up again from time to time. And when the material nature is manifest, then the living entities can do their nonsense. And when the material nature is wrapped up, then the living entities go into a kind of, don't want to say coma, that's too medical. They go to sleep. They're in deep sleep within the body of the Lord. Actually, the living entity is originally the spiritual part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But due to his rebellious nature, he is conditioned within material nature. That's clear. It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. Well, there's a revolutionary statement for ISKCON. There's so many who would like to debate this topic and argue the topic and speculate about the topic and worry over the topic and be bewildered by the topic or hold a campaign on behalf of one or another view about the topic or speak very strongly about how important it is for us to understand this topic very deeply. And here's Srila Prabhupada's take on this topic. It really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. When, how, Prabhupada's example, the man's fallen in the ocean, how he got there, when he got there, really doesn't matter. The issue is how to get him out. When he's out, then we can talk about how he got there, how long he was there. Srila Prabhupada's phrase was, somehow or other. Somehow or other, I have fallen into this ocean of birth and death. Somehow or other, we're entangled in material existence. Somehow or other means, from one point of view, that there's no good reason. No good reason for the living entity to try to exploit the material nature. It's unreasonable. But somehow or other, he has that desire, let me enjoy independently. And therefore, he becomes entangled. His constitutional position is to serve the Lord. But somehow or other, he develops this rebellious mentality, rebellious idea that why should God be the only enjoyer? Let me enjoy. Let me enjoy. The idea is illustrated in a summary form in the Bible where God gives Adam and Eve everything you might want, but they want more. Here's the only part you can't have. Well, let me have it. Somehow or other. Somehow or other. Let me enjoy. While we're biblical in Milton's Paradise Lost, the same enjoying mentality, the same rebellious mentality is articulated where Satan says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven. That's it. I want to be the boss. I may be in hell, but I'd rather be the master in hell than the servant in the spiritual world. That captures quite well the essence of material consciousness. Somehow or other, let me enjoy. In the material world, one is enjoying as the king or as the chief garbage collector. And if he's not the chief, then he's the subordinate garbage collector, and maybe he could become the chief. Even the pauper is proud of his penny. Everyone is trying to enjoy somehow. Maybe the most meager and insignificant enjoyment, but somehow he's trying to enjoy. In every species of life, the dogs, sometimes we see them eating vomit on the street. But this is some sort of enjoyment for the bewildered, conditioned soul. But somehow or other, the living entity develops this desire, let me enjoy independently. Then he can't enter the spiritual world, he has to remain. The spiritual world means that world where everyone's consciousness is in harmony, in sync with the Lord, dedicated to the service of the Lord. So when our consciousness turns away, Anadi Bahirmukh Jeev, Bhogavanchakar, we turn away from the Lord and we want to enjoy separately from the Lord, then the material nature starts slapping us around. And that's our present position. Prapati, material nature is slapping us. And we're saying, I don't care, I can enjoy anyway. So, it really does not matter how these living entities or superior entities of the Supreme Lord have come in contact with material nature. The Supreme Personality of Godhead knows, however, how and why this actually took place. We'll never figure it out. Prabhupada gave we'll never figure it out. We'll speculate, sometimes this way and sometimes that way. But we'll not figure out how, when, why. Anadi Bahirmukhi, since time immemorial, that was Prabhupada's way of putting it. Anadi Kalsa, since time immemorial, the living entities have been stuck here in material nature. And the Lord knows how, the Lord knows why, and He tells us, essentially, that it's because we're trying to enjoy independence. In the scriptures, the Lord says that those attracted by this material nature are undergoing a hard struggle for existence, prakritisthani parshati. But we should know it with certainty from the descriptions of these few verses that all transformations and influences of material nature by the three modes are also productions of material nature. All transformations and variety in respect to living entities are due to the body. As far as spirit is concerned, living entities are all the same. Vikarams, Chigunams, Chaiva. Viti Prakriti Sambhavam. It appears that we're going through so many changes in this material world. From childhood to youth to old age, or changes from moving from one place to another, one job to another, one course to another, one wife to another. whatever it is. It seems that we're going through so many changes. Vikarams, chagunams, chaiva. The deep prakriti said, this is due to material nature, it has nothing to do with us. Similarly, the qualities that we show in the material world, bravery or cowardice or wisdom or foolishness or industriousness or laziness or so many others, vidhi prakriti sambhavam, they're all products of material nature. The living being has nothing to do with this. It's not that there are living beings who are constitutionally lazy and living beings who are constitutionally greedy and living beings who are constitutionally calm and self-satisfied. That's due to the three modes of material nature. When the living entity is infected by the mode of ignorance, then he's lazy. When he's infected by passion, then he's greedy and lusty. When he's infected by the mode of goodness, then he's calm and peaceful and so on. But constitutionally, asangoyam purusha, he has nothing to do with these three modes of material nature. So he's neither this nor that. All these qualities that make one person a... Like Americans have their qualities, and the British have different qualities, and the South Africans have different qualities. In South Africans, the black people have different qualities, the Indian people have different qualities, the white people have different qualities, men have different qualities, women have different qualities. University students have different qualities. Businessmen have different qualities. Politicians have no good qualities, but they have they have different qualities. We find infinite varieties in the world around us. But Krishna says this has nothing to do with the living entity. This is just produced by material nature. Nothing to do with me. We think my personality, my hairstyle, my this, my that, nothing to do with us. Completely external or foreign to us. And all the things that we go through, the great dramas of our lives, actually have nothing to do with us. I just heard from my sister that my niece has got some sort of a small tumor on the pituitary gland, and it's near the brain and it's causing some sort of problem, and now there looks like they'll have to operate, and the girl is in anxiety, and so many things are going on, and meanwhile it's affecting her life at school, and so many, it's expressed in the as going through changes. Yeah, I'm going through a lot of changes. But these changes have nothing to do with the actual person. They're like the changes that we go through in a dream. They have nothing to do with our real life. They're described as being like the shimmering of the moon on the water. When you see the moon on the water, it appears to quiver and sometimes break up or undulate. But actually the moon is steady. But because it's reflected on the water, it picks up the characteristics of the water, or it appears to pick up the characteristics of the water. So we see the moon is shaking, or the moon is breaking up into little pieces, or the whatever else the moon appears to be doing because of being reflected on the water, or being in contact with material nature, or reflected onto material nature. We appear to be going through all of these things, sometimes breaking up, sometimes getting together, sometimes going through hard times, sometimes doing really well. We appear to be of all different characteristics according to the bodies that we've received. But sarva prakriti, vidhi prakriti sambhava. This is all just a product of the superficial material nature, and it has nothing to do with us. Therefore, pandita samadarshana, the self-realized person sees all living beings to be equal. Those who are perfectly self-realized see no difference between a dog and the person who eats dogs, between a cow or an elephant or a human being. They see all living beings equally, not materially. Material nature is always different. You don't give a child a man's work, you don't give a man's work to a woman, you don't give a woman's work to a man. Everything's different. The attempt to make everything equal materially will not be successful. You're not going to make a street sweeper a PhD, or the PhD a street sweeper. You're not going to make me into a heavyweight champion. Your body is different. Well, materially, all the bodies are different, but spiritually, every living entity is the same. Therefore, we're meant to come to the spiritual platform, and we're to see on the spiritual platform. That's where we'll see that all living beings are equal. That's where we'll see that the differences between us are superficial. That's where we'll see that all these great dramas of our individual lives or of history, the great upheavals of history, have nothing to do with reality. The rise and fall of the Roman Empire has nothing to do with the living entities who happen to be stuck in Rome at a particular time. Their life has to do with their relationship with Krishna. But due to the influence of illusion, they were, first of all, thrown into a body as a human being in Rome, and then thinking, I'm a Roman, and then watching their empire either go up or go down, depending on which part of the empire they were in, what phase of the empire they were in. But all the ups and downs of material nature have nothing to do with the living being. It's only because we're in contact with nature, as the moon is in touch with the water, that we appear to be going through these changes. So Krishna tells Arjuna, Nistraguna Bhavarjuna, rise above these three modes of material nature, come to the spiritual platform, and engage in my service. Mam chayo bhya vacharena bhakti yogena sevate saguna samiti chaitan brahmabhuta brahmabhuta prasannatma chochati akankshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim bhavate. On the spiritual platform, we see all living beings equally, and that's the platform on which we perform pure devotional service. Sarvopadi vinirma, tatpratena nirmala, rishikena rishikesha, sevana, bhakti rishikesha.
see what kind of questions we might have today, if any. Glad I said it, any.
The question based on the first that you just, you call it about the spirit soul influenced by the false ego.
Spirit soul is what?
Being influenced by the false ego. And
being?
Influenced by the false ego.
Being which by the false ego? Controlled by the false ego?
Influenced.
Influenced by the false ego.
The one that says in chapter 3, verse 27.
No, you're talking to the floor. You have to talk to me and you have to talk loud.
Okay. The spirit soul bewildered by the influence of false ego thinks himself the dual of activities that are in a charity carried out by the three modes of material dimension. So the question based on this verse is that in Krishna consciousness, when you're a beginner in Krishna consciousness.
When what?
When you're a beginner.
Yeah.
In Krishna consciousness, you were supposed to use your material propensities, your intelligence and mind to carry out that service for Krishna. But sometimes you get a load into the Maya's camp sometimes. So I'm asking, how can you maintain a proper consciousness?
How sometimes we get, in the beginning we're supposed to engage our propensities and so on in devotional service, but sometimes we get allured into Maya's camp, we get allured by something material. So how do we maintain our proper consciousness? By practice. The chanting and hearing are meant to fix us on the spiritual platform. Reading the books is meant to bring us to the spiritual platform. Serving the deities is meant to bring us to the spiritual platform. All of these activities help us situate ourselves on the spiritual side in Krishna's service. And then the art is how to arrange all of our time in such a way that we're always doing something for the service of Krishna. Either distributing books or speaking about Krishna or hearing about Krishna or doing some cleaning the temple for Krishna. There's so many picking flowers for the deities, cooking for Krishna. There's so many activities. For those who are not living at the temple, there are activities of Krishna consciousness at home, like throwing out their television sets. Pratikulyasya Varjana. Yes. Molding, the Prabhupada said we should mold our lives in such a way that we're always engaged in the service of Krishna. But throwing out the television set is one such activity. We can ask ourselves, do I watch television for the service of Krishna? Or do I watch television because I'm distracted by the material energy? And then we can adjust accordingly. So it requires some determination. It requires some practice. Oh, I got distracted by material energy. Now I have to bring my attention back to the service of Krishna. By practice, and by molding our lives in such a way. The householders also can worship the deity at home, they can also do kirtan at home, they can also read Srimad Bhagavatam together or individually, they can also offer all their food to the deity, they can also put aside useless activities that don't help in Krishna consciousness. They can also contribute something of their, they can preach about Krishna, they can do practical service for Krishna, they can give some financial contribution because a lot of their life may be involved with making money. So So then they can give some portion of that money for the service of Krishna. So that while they're working, they're thinking, well, I hate work, but it's not all for my sense gratification. This is my duty, and something is being used for the service of Krishna. In that such a way that one has to connect everything with the service of the world.
Maharaj, why is there so much suffering in the material world?
Which one?
Why is there so much suffering in the material world?
Why is there so much suffering in the material world?
Me personally, it hampers my devotional service.
It hampers your devotional service. Well, the material world is not really the place for devotional service. The spiritual world is the place for devotional service. And we're trying to come back to that world. The material world is the world where people are, it's the jail. You know, we go to jail and we say, why is the food so lousy here? But by engaging in the service of Krishna, by regulating our lives in such a way that we're always engaged in devotional service, we can minimize the sufferings of material life. Suffering has to be there. But those sufferings can be minimal. And the devotee doesn't identify with those sufferings. You know, it's all right, the body is subject to suffering, even the mind is subject to suffering. But I'm not this body, I'm not this mind. Therefore, Prabhabhuta Prasannatma, Nashochati Nakanchati. On the spiritual platform, one doesn't lament or hanker or this, that. Simply chants Hare Krishna, engages in Krishna's service. Ahaitaki Apratiyata, material nature can't stop us from serving Krishna. Something else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.